Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed and Charlie Collier. We'll see Hayden stroll in here at some point today, I would assume.
I miss that guy.
Yeah, yeah. In typical Hayden fashion, going to be late to his last 2 days. But either way, Charlie, it's just you and me for now. Cam's gone. He's on his way to Louisiana. And we got some hot, spicy gumbo coming out of Texas this morning as Jimbo Fisher went full Southern countryman on Nick Saban this morning. Nick Saban talked to, you know, basically it seemed like a fan event last night. Talked about the need for, you know, basically Alabama to raise more money for players, you know, to if they want to get serious about this NIL stuff, and pointed to Texas A&M and Jacksonville State and how, like, you know, the college football landscape has changed when it comes to recruiting. And then Jimbo Fisher returned back with, "I'm going to burn your house down. You're a coward. You're a despicable person. I hate you." So Jimbo definitely, I don't want to say overreacted, but Jimbo, whenever you start quoting your dad and him smacking you around and how someone should have smacked Nick Saban around, it's a pretty good indication that Jimbo, who's calling Nick Saban God and the czar of college football, he was fed up and fired up. What did you make of today's press conference by Jimbo, Charlie?
I honestly kind of think that Jimbo sounds soft. Like, Jimbo sounds a little sensitive. He sounds ridiculous to me. I mean, I enjoyed watching him get angry. You know, watching Jimbo Fisher get angry is hilarious. Watching him say that, you know, my daddy would have slapped me. You know, maybe Nick Saban should have been slapped. Like, that's funny. Comical. I enjoy what it's doing for this rivalry that's been created since the Johnny Manziel days. And October 8th should be a lot of fun. But I'm actually, again, I've already taken a lot of flack for this, but I side with Saban here. I don't think that Saban was really in the wrong. Now, I don't think that Saban has the moral high ground here. Like, I think that Saban's also cheated. He's also done things the wrong way. But I don't think he was bad-mouthing Texas A&M. I don't think he was calling out Jimbo Fisher. I think he was just simply making an argument and then backing up said argument with examples that are pretty out in the open. I mean, he also brought up Nigel Pack in Miami. That was just straight up reported that Nigel Pack had a 2-year deal, $400,000 through Life Wallet. Like, that is knowledge that is out in the open. I feel like, you know, unless you are the most innocent, you know, blissfully ignorant man, college football fan out there, I think we can all admit that, we know, A&M has paid a sizable amount for their signing class. Nick Saban is just making pretty good points here that NIL was being, you know, used in all the wrong ways, and it's gotten to a ridiculous point already. And I'm with him. I also, where are we going to go from here with NIL? So I'm actually Team Saban in all of this.
Well, my question of where we all go from this, I guess my answer would be, we don't know. Because, you know, Bruce Feldman, I think, summed it up pretty well. He said he spoke to a former SEC assistant about the blow-up. And the assistant, who remained nameless, said, "There has always been an honor amongst thieves mantra in the league. And these two just called each other's wives fat in front of a global audience." AKA, yeah, we know that you can cheat in the SEC. You have to cheat in the SEC. It's no coincidence, Nick Saban, that, like, your assistants all came up to Knoxville and then got caught cheating. Do you think they learned that in the year here by themselves? Or do you think they learned the way of the world down in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, I mean, that's the only problem that I have. Like, that's why I would say I'm 75% Team Saban, because I think he's trying to act like he's above it and doing things the right way. And, you know, maybe, I guess, in the world of NIL, maybe he is more so focused on guys earning NIL deals than using it as a recruiting tool. Maybe. But they still have a collective. You know, they're still using it as a recruiting tool. So that's the part that I disagree with Nick Saban. You know, I don't think that he can act like he's above everyone else when he's you know, just as big of a cheater, if not more of a cheater, as everyone else.
Especially when he flexes at the beginning of NIL that, you know, his quarterback has a seven-figure deal. Like, he made that public. He told everyone, like, hey, Bryce Young's got $7 million in it, or a seven-figure deal, $1 million, and has never played a snap here. Wow, this is crazy, huh?
Yeah, that's the part that bothers me is, you know, part of it does feel like, oh, wait, hold up. Everyone is now on the same playing field as me. Everyone can kind of catch up with me a little bit here at Alabama. You know, I thought that if I just threw out there that, you know, that Bryce Young was going to get a cool millie, that would just be another way to recruit for Alabama. And maybe that is, you know, just an example of someone actually earning that by getting on campus. But at the same time, Bryce Young hadn't started a game yet. You know, I think...
Right, Bryce Young was already...
You know, he was there. He was there and established, but he hadn't started a game yet. So there's, you know, middle ground there. But part of it does sound like Nick Saban's a little jealous.
But my point was, like, they were using... And I'm not even accusing the NIL stuff of being the reason Bryce Young went to Alabama. I'm sure there was other money attached to that beforehand, as there is all throughout the SEC. Again, I want to point out that, you know, all the guys that got caught here with McDonald's bags, they were all from Alabama. Like Jeremy Pruitt and Niedermeyer, like they are Pruitt boys. Hell, Pruitt's a Jimbo boy too. So, like, I mean, for Jimbo, who, you know, got hit with a show cause not too long ago at Texas A&M, being the voice of morality. And Nick Saban playing, woe is me, we're so poor. It just seems very, very strange. And like the unnamed SEC assistant said, like, there's supposed to be honor amongst these. Everyone knows we're cheating. That's what the SEC is. You aren't supposed to just start talking about that out loud. But even then, like, you talk about Bryce Young. Was he induced by his $1 million contract to go to Alabama? No. Because it wasn't legal. He got it after the fact. But I think Nick Saban talked about it and pointed it out as a way to say, look, when you're at Alabama, you can make big NIL money, which is essentially the same thing as inducement.
I don't know if it is.
When you're saying our players earn this much money, it's to be assumed that if you come there, you could earn that much money too.
Yeah, but that's different than saying we'll give you this much money to come here. I think that's just pointing out, hey, look, Alabama is a place with lucrative opportunities to earn
right.
NIL.
Which is the same thing of saying, like, hey, you're going to eventually get paid here if you come here. It's not saying that you're guaranteed that much money. So it's not technically the same thing that Texas A&M is accused of doing. Or Texas has somehow, you know, still gotten by with, like, hey, we're going to give every offensive lineman $50,000.
But that's the proper way to use NIL. Like, that's what you're promoting by saying that. That is the proper way. That is the way to use NIL as a recruiting tool, too, is, hey, this is the kind of market that if you succeed, you can make a lot of money.
Yeah, but again, Bryce Young didn't succeed. Didn't play a snap.
Yeah, but...
It's not like he wasn't Tua coming in. He wasn't Johnny Manziel after a Heisman type of season. It was, if you are here and you're a starter at Alabama, you're worth a lot of money. Which, again, isn't the same as, like, sign on the dotted line and you get paid. But it's not that much different as far as I'm concerned. It's still like saying, hey, there's haves and haves nots, and at Alabama you're worth $1 million to be our starting quarterback, and no one else has signed that. It's not that different if you ask me, especially when you're crying about it, when you're Nick Saban.
I think Jimbo's both, the one crying. Well, I think Jimbo's sounds like a whiny, you know what?
I think they both come off poorly.
I can agree with that, but...
I mean, I like it.
I agree much more with Saban here, though, which, again, I didn't think that, you know, Wednesday or Thursday, you know, May 19th, 2022 would be the day that all of a sudden I align with the evil empire, but I agree with what most of Nick Saban's saying. He's spot on.
I like it. I'm happy it's here for college football. We need a rivalry. We need coaches showing personality. We need coach beef. Like, I mean, that's the college football that we all love. You know, from the 90s, Steve Spurrier, Bobby Bowden, Free Shoes University. Like, we need all those things. And I know, you know, that's been a while ago, but still. We needed some coaches with personality and not just, like, you don't need your face of the sport to be very hateable. Dabo Sweeney, who's always bitching about something, and Nick Saban as a robot. So now we have Nick Saban as a disgruntled old man. And we got Jimbo Fisher, who's got his chest puffed out a little bit, who has been emboldened. Like, hey, you can't say I've never beat my quote-unquote mentor, which I did like that Jimbo pushed back on the idea that Nick Saban was his mentor. I don't know if you guys picked up on that in the press conference. He was basically like, no. I learned to do things by watching Bobby Bowden. I learned how not to do things by watching someone else. Which, you know, AKA seems like he's talking about Saban. Which, I mean, it's not like how not to do things because, again, Nick Saban is, you know, pretty much hands down universally accepted as the GOAT. So you probably could have learned how to do things from Saban. But that's what Jimbo went out of his way to say. Like, hey, no. Stop it with the mentor talk. I ain't learned nothing from Saban. I learned what not to do. Bobby Bowden was my mentor, and we did it the right way there, buddy. Hayden Wallen, welcome to the show. Happy to have you. How are you, my friend?
Pretty good.
Good to see you. Send us to break. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Us real people that follow golf know.
Yeah, I know. He's a...
What us real people who follow golf know is that Rory is due for one really, really bad round. Probably tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure.
Probably tomorrow.
But you can bet that about Sunday at 3 o'clock he'll be the leader in the clubhouse.
Or he'll be just snuck onto like the top five where you're like, oh, if he can just get it going, hit a couple more birdies, he'll have a chance.
That's
to
what
make
I'm saying.
It interesting.
He'll be the leader in the clubhouse because he'll start the day like nine back of the lead and then finish his day three back and everyone else is still on the course, so he'll be the leader.
Right.
John Daly being under par is the funniest thing that's happened in a while to me.
John Daly currently one under through 15.
Oh, he's only one under now?
Yeah. What was he?
He was two under.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
he just bogeyed hole 14 to give one of those back. So he's got three holes remaining and is currently one under. So he's looks like he's going to play himself into the weekend. I'm kind of surprised at the lower score so far because I saw people saying they thought it was going to play like a U.S. Open. But so far, you know, people haven't really blown up just yet. It seems like it's going pretty well.
That disappoints me. I'm a big course guy. I always root for the course. Like, I prefer my winner to be at, like, 4-under for a tournament, 5-under.
I'm a 12-under guy myself. Bryson DeChambeau had to withdraw yesterday due to injury, which, I mean, he's been playing poorly because of that injury pretty much all year, but just a name gone. Another name on the course, Tiger Woods, maybe the biggest name on the course, got off to a good start on the back nine. He started on the back nine. Got off to a good start, had birdied two of his first five holes, but three bogeys later, he is now one over par through 10. So he's taken on water back-to-back bogeys there on 9 and 10 for him, or 18 and 1, I guess I should say.
One of my best friends is there following Tiger around right now.
Really?
Yeah, biggest Tiger guy I know, and he's
following him around, huh?
Following him around today. I was hoping he'd go low today for him.
Started off well. Started off looking like he was going to. So in that group, I guess we got Tiger 1 over, we got Rory 4 under, and Spieth is currently 2 over through 10. So.
He can't make a putt. He's lipped out on 3 putts already.
Okay. So we'll keep you updated on today's round of golf. Hayden, anything you need to get off your chest after being gone for a week? Any emotions you're feeling right now as you wind down your time here with two more shows?
A little sad.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I could tell that you wanted to really soak up every possible second as you showed up 6 minutes late today.
Yep.
Usually it would have been 10 minutes, but you're like, no, I got to get there at least.
Got to get there early.
A little early.
You think on time tomorrow even?
I mean, I would say there's probably a 65% chance of that.
I would go with I would bet the no there. But either way.
Yeah, can I get that at plus odds?
Either way.
I'd be willing to bet you that you're not here at noon.
Okay.
Wow, he's trying to motivate you now.
I mean, I'll be here if I want to be here then, you know?
It's true. It's not like I have any leverage over you. You can just lock the door, I guess, and not give you a farewell show.
Back to golf just for a minute, though, John. Did you know that our friend Charlie played in a golf scramble tournament this weekend and didn't win?
Yeah, but he told me we already discussed that beforehand, and he did not play with his group of friends. So I'm not really counting that.
I don't know why that would be like a knock on me. When I discussed our potential 5-man scramble, I said that I would be
Still the most absurd thing I've ever heard. Actually,
you're just stupid. I said that I would be rather worthless to that scramble. First of all, I'm not claiming to be some really good golfer. I'm simply claiming that I happen to have some friends that are. I also was playing with like my buddy, who's also as mediocre as me. His brother, who just got into golf, and like his dad.
He thought he had you. I got your back.
I just wanted to discuss it. I didn't know you guys had talked about it.
Yeah. Well, I'd already asked because I wanted to say that, you know, they had to at least win that. But
we still got to 11 under, so not the worst day.
I'm sad that this Jimbo versus Saban light beef that you two have is gonna end soon. Hayden trying to give you friction constantly. You have to defend yourself.
I feel like there's it's a one way beef. I don't beef down.
Wow.
Yeah, learned that one yesterday.
Yeah, it's an important rule to remember. If you're college football and if you're the SEC, are you happy today? Or are you like, what the hell are we doing? Like, are you the, that's a really dated reference. Are you the PGA commissioner from Happy Gilmore picking up the phone immediately? Like, hey, Gilmore, McGavin, get in here. We got to talk. No more blow ups. No more doing this in the media. Or are you just like, you know, it's not that bad. We're talking college football right here in May, a time of year where we really don't usually talk about college football. It's the topic of the day right now. It's going to be leading every sports show. Nick Saban scheduled for an interview today at 4:30. XM College Radio with, I guess, Rick Neuheisel.
Interesting.
I don't know if that was already scheduled or if he was like, you know what? Yeah, I'll do an interview. I'll do an interview. Get me in front of a mic.
The SEC Media Days are coming up too, aren't they?
That's usually in July, right?
I thought it was in like 2 weeks. I thought somebody said that on Twitter today. They moved it up or something.
I hope that Jimbo and Nick are back-to-back, both on the same day.
No, yeah. it's always in middle of July.
Okay. I think SEC meetings are in 2 weeks.
Right? Oh, okay. That's what it was then.
Yeah, when they go down to, like, Destin.
Okay. There's no media at that, though. I guess not.
But no, but SEC meeting could also be pretty fun with this going on. If you're at the SEC, I mean, part of you – was probably thinking, hey, it's good to have some buzz. You know, that October 8th game getting even bigger, that's going to be...
No, that was April 28th.
Oh, then I don't know.
I just saw a tweet that it said 12 days, or they were going to see each other again in 12 days or something like that. I'm not sure.
Unless this is the SEC, like the... Oh, yeah. This is seems like a different SEC. Never mind. Southeast Conference? Like, what's this logo? I've never seen this.
The Conference of the People in the Southeast.
Oh, it's the Southeast Conference of the Evangelical. How the hell do you say that?
Evangelicals?
Evangelicals. I knew how to say it. I just couldn't. It was stuck in my head. Evangelical Church. They got the they got the dates of the annual meeting. So the spring meeting's 2022. I guess that's the first day it comes up. So
you think Nick and Jimbo were there? The Evangelical SEC meetings?
You know, Jimbo was going with Christian Southern Man Defense, basically.
I ain't a cheat.
My dad
ain't never lied.
Me. If I did cheat or lie, maybe somebody should have smacked him, a.k.a. Nick Saban's daddy didn't raise him right.
Yeah, so Ross Dellinger tweeted, 12 days until the head coaches meet in Destin at the SEC spring meetings.
Okay, so spring meetings.
Yeah.
And that's also, I guess, where... We're
spring meetings in like the end of May somehow.
Right. And that's where like Sankey was also talking about like, hey, we're going to try to figure out our schedules.
For like the pod system or whatever.
And just whether or not we're doing divisions. But basically it seemed like the implication from him was that he wasn't going to change anything until Texas and Oklahoma got here. Whereas the Pac-12 yesterday went ahead and their divisions are gone now.
I feel like it wouldn't make sense to change anything until they get here.
I mean, not if you're going to change it again, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the other conferences are already like, you know what? We don't need these divisions anymore. Like, the Pac-12 got rid of theirs immediately, right? Like, that's gone now.
I didn't know that was an NCAA rule. I thought that was just like conferences just did that on their own.
What is the NCAA rule?
That you had to have divisions in your conference if you had a certain number of teams, right?
Oh, really?
12, right?
I think if you have 12 teams, yeah.
Yeah, and that got waived yesterday, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why the Pac-12, as soon as the NCAA, like, kind of, like, broke their rule on that, you didn't have to do it, they immediately changed it. Which I'm for the divisions, honestly. I think that helps us, but it's probably the pod thing's going to screw it up.
Well, they said they're not doing pods.
Okay. I hope we keep the divisions then.
I don't think they're doing divisions. I think we're just going to play the entire conference and you'll have a couple permanent rivals and it's going to rotate.
I don't like that. But that sucks. I guess it depends on all. It all depends on who your permanent rivals are.
Rather just keep playing the East nonstop?
I mean, I think it gives us a better chance to get to Atlanta, to be honest. What I'm saying? I feel like it's going to be very few years where, I mean, if ever, where we're going to – the SEC West is not going to have two teams better than, like, what the best team in the East and the best team in the West if it's not Georgia.
I don't know. I mean, like, recently, sure, but it always comes in waves. You know, at one point you had, like, Georgia and Florida at the top. At one point you had Florida and Tennessee.
In the 90s.
You had Tennessee and Georgia.
When did you have Georgia and Florida at the top?
Tim Tebow was around, Georgia was a top 10 team with Aaron Murray. Tebow was like, had Florida top five.
So I guess like 06, 07?
Yeah, like you've had
Aaron Murray
waves.
And Tebow didn't play at the same time.
I was trying to think of who it was, whatever. Either way, like you've had times where multiple East teams were better than multiple West teams, and you've had time where multiple West teams are better than multiple East teams.
I feel like it's been since Nick Saban got there that's been the case.
Like, even with the time you're talking about, Charlie, like, Florida and Georgia, like, between 07 and 13 when they were really good, like, LSU was also really good, and Alabama. So, like, and they were better, like, higher ranked than them. So, like, they still would have been in the championship game.
I agree. I see what you're saying here, Hayden, where, you know, like, it's Tennessee has a better chance of beating just Georgia.
Yes.
Than they do of beating Georgia and LSU and Texas A&M.
Yep.
And Oklahoma and Texas. Like, yep. We'll just add those in there. That's your point?
Yeah. I just want a chance to get in the SEC championship game. I feel like, especially with the permanent rival of Alabama, it's going to keep our SEC record down. Like, all these other teams, if you look in the conference, like Kentucky's schedule this year is so easy. Georgia's schedule this year is just, like, laughable. I think the hardest game they play is going to be Tennessee. But these teams that aren't required to play Alabama and Georgia and Florida every year, like, they're going to have so many more wins compared to Tennessee because we already have so many built-in losses, and it's going to go off losses, so we're going
to
be screwed.
I mean, at the same time, like, Georgia's schedule is also easier because they don't have to play Georgia. They just are Georgia. Like, I mean
– yeah, and Auburn's
also
terrible.
There is that, too. But, I mean, I get what you're saying, that, like, it's easier to just, you know, have to beat – Georgia, and if you beat Georgia, even if you lose to Alabama, you know, you feel like you're going to make it to the SEC championship game rather than trying to beat a bunch of schools. But at the same time, if you can find yourself in a situation where, you know, you're not having to play Georgia and Alabama every single year, because I don't think that would happen with permanent rivals, you know, you're not going to get both of those teams, obviously.
I'd say we're probably going to get Alabama no matter what.
I think you're going to get Alabama too, but you're not going to get Georgia, obviously. Like, Georgia has Auburn, and they have... Florida. Other teams to worry about. But.
Yeah. It would just depend on what our permanent rivals would be in this new format if I would, like, prefer that.
So, you know, there could be years where it's worse for Tennessee. But, you know, if you're losing, having to play both of those teams every year, there's going to be years where maybe it's better than it would be, too. Maybe you get the years where it's Alabama, but then you get, like, a Kentucky and, like, a Vanderbilt and maybe, like, a Mississippi State or a down Auburn all together. And then you actually have a chance to still be towards the top of the SEC. Because I don't think it's unrealistic to think that in a couple years, like, you're fighting to be the third best team in the SEC. I mean, I think you have a chance to compete to maybe be the third best team in the SEC this year.
Potentially.
But the third best isn't getting you anything.
Yep. No. Well, weren't they talking about making it a four-team SEC semifinals championship?
Wild.
I think that would probably, like, behoove them just in terms of drawing excitement. But, like, if you're going to move to a nine-game conference, then I doubt it because, like, you don't want to play 11 conference games before you get to
but also what I mean
playoff,
by,
especially with the expanded playoff coming. You're not going to be playing 11 SEC games. You're not going to have your champion doing that. So, no, I don't think you're going to be.
But also what I meant by third best team is in those years that you're not playing both Georgia and Alabama, being the third best team but not having to play one of the two teams above you can still put you in a position then where you're finishing second.
It could, unless the second team doesn't have to play either one of them, because like Georgia and Alabama don't have to play each other almost ever.
Yep.
But on the other hand, like, is the trade-off not better to not have two guaranteed losses for the foreseeable future?
It honestly just depends on what the permanent rivals would be.
Sure, and I think it's a safe assumption is that Alabama and Vandy are both going to be on there.
Yeah.
And maybe with 16 teams, you just do two permanent rivals.
I do think if they're going to go with this whole like free-for-all schedule like you're talking about, it's going to be 9 games no matter what.
Yeah, no, it's
that's, going to, that's what the Big 12 did. I just feel like that's pretty much set in stone what you're going to have to do to get it like enough like repetition through all the teams like in a good number of years. Like if you do 8 games, it's going to take 5 years to play everybody in the conference or whatever.
Okay.
Would it how long would it take if you do 8?
It depends on how many permanent rivalries you have and like
you do
the rotation
eight,
schedule.
If you do 8 games with two permanent rivals, then you think you're seeing everyone every 2.5 years, roughly? 2 years? 2 to 2.5 years?
Different games.
Yeah, because...
Yeah, and you need to
I mean, you're playing 13 teams with 6 games a year each, so you're going to see 12 of... What?
I said it'd be over 2 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, you'd see 12 of the 13 in 2 years, and then I guess there'd be one more.
But they would probably do home and home, though. Wouldn't they?
Yeah, you would. Like, the idea of, like, the ACC was like, hey, we want every – and, like, things people have complained about in the past is, like, a student could come here to Tennessee and not be guaranteed to go and play every SEC team and, like, see every SEC stadium and how stupid that is to not be able to, like, guarantee that you can see every stadium if you're a four-year player. Like, you play at a conference and, like, you know, obviously, like, the whole time we've been in the SEC with them, we've only been to Texas A&M once.
Yep. I mean, we're supposed to go to LSU this year, and we haven't been there since 2010, right?
Yeah, so I mean.
Which that's.
That's even more of a drastic thing. I think that got reset because of the expansion or whatever.
Yeah, expansion, like, reset everything back to start in 2014. Uh-huh. So
I don't know. We'll see, you know, Saban again at 4:30. It seems like Saban's going to walk this back. If I was betting, I would say that he comes in and be like, look, I understand Jimbo's mad. I wasn't trying to call out Jimbo. I was trying to call out the system. But in a perfect world, Saban would be like, yeah, look at the track record. Like, all of a sudden he had 8 5 stars out of nowhere. Are you kidding me? We're supposed to think that's just on the up and up.
They're both just such liars.
Well, Jimbo, like, got in trouble, like, right when he got to Texas A&M, right? Like, didn't Jimbo get a show cause?
Yeah, it's just like, they're just acting like nothing's going on, either of them. I wish they would just, like, either stop talking about it or just own up to it, one of the two.
On, I guess this is July 2nd of 2020. Yeah, Jimbo got a 6-month show cause after he and an assistant coach had impermissible contact. So, I mean, like, I guess it's not a huge thing, but it's not like he's, like, a squeaky clean image. But I guess we could all – he does have the benefit of being able to say, look, I might be unlikable. You might assume I'm dirty, but we all know Saban's dirty. You guys seen those Chargers, right? Like, you know Saban's dirty, and he's the one complaining, really?
Again, though, just the I'm not a liar, I didn't cheat, yada, yada, yada. Like, yeah, you did.
Well
– you've been cheating. It's still – you know, it's, I guess, closer to legal, and, like, you're not going to get in trouble for it anymore. But even before then, you were cheating. You were cheating at Florida State. You were cheating prior to NIL, and you're still kind of sort of cheating now. But also, just why not just be like, hey, the Texas A&M is University of Texas A&M, either or. Here at Texas A&M, we have a passionate community that loves our football team, and there are very lucrative opportunities to make money off your name, image, and likeness. And if that helps us recruit better, so be it. Do something about it. Like, I mean, maybe not to do something about it, but you can just be a little bit more honest, too.
Was
you don't have to sit there and act like...
What, I mean, if you're calling Jimbo a cheater and Jimbo didn't have any, like, any, wasn't given directions and wasn't involved with the NIL and, like, it was separate from the school, is that different? Because, like, do you consider Josh Heupel cheating right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You consider Josh Heupel cheating? Not Tennessee? Not
I consider Tennessee cheating. I don't really know where that goes, but I consider
I think there is a 99% chance.
To me, first of all, if everyone's doing it, it's not cheating. Like during the steroid era, if everyone's on steroids in baseball, it's fine. Everyone's even playing football.
The problem wasn't
everyone's on steroids.
I think that 99% of the athletic department over there is, and every other athletic department, is picking and choosing which athletes they want the NIL people to go talk to, which they're not supposed to be doing.
Well, now it's legal in Tennessee, though. You're not breaking any state rules.
But when it first came out, that was legal.
Which I don't know if that was happening when it first came out.
I think it was.
Okay.
I think A&M, I don't know how else you could explain them getting all the guys.
I mean, I think it was as simple as these guys all have 5 stars next to their name. Go pay them.
Yeah, I guess, but
I mean, they just went out and got a bunch of guys in the trenches, right, and like a quarterback, and like you know, just got to be 5 stars they could get their hands on, right?
I mean, I think it's illegal more so in the sense of what's happening is not the legal definition of NIL.
Uh huh.
Like that's where it's cheating for me. But again, everyone's doing it, so it's only that's why I say it's kind of cheating, because if everyone's doing it and the NCAA isn't stopping it, whether it's because they don't have the resources or it's because they don't want to challenge the Supreme Court, then go right ahead and cheat like everyone else is doing and be the best at it so we can be a really good football team again.
Well, if I'm Jimbo Fisher, I have a problem with a couple things. Like I said, if my boosters all put together an NIL collective and they're getting me athletes, that's not me cheating. You haven't gotten me nailed down cheating. Like, you might think I'm cheating, but like you ain't got me cheating. You got our school maybe going out of our way to induce players. But that's just boosters. That's what I'm saying if I'm Jimbo Fisher. That's the first thing. Like, I'm not cheating. I'm not paying players. They might have opportunities here, but I ain't got nothing to do with it. That's what he kept saying. Like, I ain't got nothing to do with it. I ain't.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of what he was saying during his press conference.
Right, he's like, I ain't divvy out money to nobody. I ain't got no sponsorships. You can check that. So, like, I think that's his first problem. His second problem, maybe his biggest problem, is like, look, if somebody's going to accuse me of cheating, it ain't going to be Nick Saban. Like, this guy's the one that's going to throw me under the bus. This guy, the guy that I know a lot about, that I used to coach with, that, trust me, like, I know how he gets down. Again, keep in mind, his assistants got to Tennessee and immediately got caught, you know, giving players McDonald's bags full of, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars.
But Alabama's never got caught, though.
They haven't got caught. But if I'm Jimbo Fisher, like, I know how you get down. And, like, I haven't told anybody. I definitely didn't go out in front of the media and go out in front of, you know, other fans and boosters and, like, call you out by name. I could have, and I'm going to now. Excuse me? Like, you ain't going to be the one throwing me under the bus. Not you. That's how I would also feel if I'm Jimbo Fisher. If it's like Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern that's, you know, throwing me under the bus, maybe I'll take it. But you, Nick Saban, no. You're not going to act like you're innocent. Everyone knows how you get down.
So whose side are you on, John? I know Charlie's on Saban's side.
I'm just on the side of I think it's entertaining and I like it. And I like Jimbo Fisher, you know, basically not being afraid of Nick Saban. I don't know if I'm on his side because, you know, I do think those guys were induced. Now, whether or not it's from him, like, I do love that he is basically, you know, a hit dog hollering. Like, people talk about his recruiting class and he has to go out of his way to be like, no, we didn't do that. We didn't cheat. We got all these guys here out of the goodness of their hearts. They just love Texas A&M and the culture I've built. Like, get real. So I do think he's a phony. But I think Nick Saban's also a phony, and I appreciate Jimbo Fisher standing up to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm on the side of just chaos, I guess. Like, I'm happy it's happening. But they're two bad guys just going at it. It's Godzilla versus Kong. Which, I mean, I guess in that one you're supposed to be rooting for. Are you supposed to be rooting for Kong or
Godzilla? I root for King Kong.
Okay. Then I recently saw my Showtime as I was scrolling movies. There was a movie. Showtime, I guess, did their own version. Or somebody did their own version just called Lizard versus Monster. And it's just something looks like King Kong and Godzilla squaring face to face.
Did you
No, I didn't watch it. No.
You should have.
No. I did try to put on a really, really terrible movie, and then I stopped. And
what
I was
movie?
Like, too much. It was really, really terrible.
What was it?
It was something called 13 Fanboy, which is supposed to be like this guy's like going to – he's a killer, and he's like trying to kill all the people that were in the original Friday the 13th series, like the actors. I don't know. I watched like the opening.
Doesn't sound awful.
No, I watched the opening scene. It was going to be awful. It was going to be really, really bad. And then I checked the ratings afterwards, and I was like, yeah, this is one of those movies you don't want to watch. Do you have a side here you're on, Hayden?
No, I don't like either of them, to
That's
be
how
honest.
I feel.
That's how I feel, too. Again,
No.
I said
no.
I'm
your team save, and it's too late.
You said that.
Just wait.
My words are getting misconstrued. I got people pretty mad at me.
Jimbo gives off big Brian Kelly energy sometimes.
What do you mean by that?
Just, like, doesn't seem real.
Okay.
Like, with the stuff he says. Like, I
do like that his accent got a lot more Texan whenever he got to Texas A&M.
I just hate
his... But
his
name's Jimbo, so I feel like he has probably got some credentials as a country boy.
I hate his press conference even... Honestly, I hate his press conferences even more than Saban's when I hear the clips from it. It's just like, he doesn't seem real. And he talks... When he first got to A&M, he talked about how it wasn't about the money. It was just about how much he loved Texas A&M, which is like, come on, bro. Like, you got like 10 years, $75 million to come to Texas A&M. That's why you came there, not because you, out of the goodness of your heart, you like Texas A&M.
Was it like $100 million?
No, it was $10.75.
Oh. Yeah. I think he's got a raise
since then.
He's
got a
raise
since then.
Yeah.
Also, his boy was there, right? Like, the AD was his boy, right?
I don't know
was
who
AD
it was.
Was his AD the guy?
Ross Bjork?
Yeah, I thought that was like, he had ties with him, I thought, but
I don't know.
Maybe not.
You want to know who is real? Josh Heupel. Josh Heupel's real. He keeps it real with you.
You think he's a cheater? You just said it.
I said kind of.
You said Jimbo's a cheater. I said
Heupel
a cheater.
I would honestly say
yes.
No, about the Heupel thing, but the Nico thing seems like
in the technical sense, yeah, I do.
Kind of different.
Is it the cheater? Like it's not the same kind of cheating. Like it's not like the same kind of cheating as like Patrick Reed, you know, trying to improve his lie. Like that's scumbag cheating.
So you got different levels of cheating now?
Yeah, like, I think you do.
Your officer, I was just breaking the law a little bit.
Because I mean. Every coach in college football has been cheating for many, many, many
years. I don't know if every coach is cheating. I don't think Vanderbilt's cheating.
Well, depends.
I think they are.
Do they get to do the same thing they do, like, which I guess they don't have to with football because of scholarships? So do they get to do like the thing they do with baseball where they just get like a, you know, extra money? Because you know, like with the baseball, they can do the cost of attendance and then cover. Like, can they do that with football and like overcharge it and they get more scholarship money? I don't know. But you're right. They're probably not getting a lot of the inducement stuff. I do love that Jimbo Fisher said he's not afraid of confrontation after like being like, yeah, Saban tried to call me and I didn't answer the phone. Don't you have to pick up the phone and cuss him out at that point? I mean, I get it. Like, sometimes when I'm mad at someone, I don't want to talk, but like, sometimes I don't like confrontation because when I get into confrontation, I lose my cool sometimes. So sometimes it's just better for me not to answer the phone and just not talk. Maybe that's how Jimbo is. But then I don't get on like in front of the national media and be like, yeah, I love confrontation. I like it.
Yeah, he was talking a little bit too much there at the end when somebody asked like about the meeting between him like on the field with Saban. He was like, oh, I
like confrontation.
Yeah.
Again, he then went on to say that, like, basically Saban's daddy should have smacked him because his dad smacked him, and that's why he's a good, honest person that doesn't cheat and doesn't lie because my dad used to smack me.
Yeah.
He called out Saban's daddy. Which then, of course, we go to Lane Kiffin for comment. He said he's speechless for the first time.
I do think it would be hilarious if either Texas A&M or Alabama got, like, in trouble with NIL. I think that would be awesome.
It's not going to happen, but they are kind of inviting
They
are inviting some investigations.
You know, the NCAA is like going to get on the phone and be like, so what did you mean by that when you said that about Saban?
Nothing's going to happen.
But do you really think the SEC protects Alabama with that stuff? Because a bunch of people think that, and I just think that.
I think they protect the whole like SEC. Like.
Yeah.
I mean, like, again, like, I think we all cheat. Like, I know Tennessee got caught, but I think Tennessee got sloppy and got turned in. Like, do I think someone's turned in Alabama and they've, like, looked the other way? I mean, I guess not, but maybe that's naive. I don't know. Because when you think about, like, them as an institution, right? When you think of just, like, say the NCAA or the SEC, when you think of them as an institution, they're supposed to be, you know, unbiased and an arm of the law, essentially, for lack of a better term. But then when you actually think about it, though, like, it's all just made up of people like us.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, if they are down in Birmingham, there's a chance they might have an affinity for Alabama or have a personal relationship with somebody. So, like, maybe they do kind of sweep stuff under the rug. I don't know.
I just know it's of the opinion of a lot of people in our fan base that think that Alabama and Georgia just, like, cheat their asses off and get away with it because the SEC wants to protect the top dogs.
Well, I mean, there might be something to the top dog stuff, but, like, I would say the same thing. Like, I probably, again, I wasn't really old enough, but fuck, we probably got protected in the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah, maybe. I just think that they might be better at it than – I think we got Alabama's, like, low-level crooks came up here. Like,
oh, a couple years ago, yeah. I'm talking about when we're actually good, though.
I think they have a lot smarter people working down there than – and they can get away with more stuff because of that.
You know, when it comes to, like, the schedule and the season, do I think they get less holds called on them? I don't know. They're better. Like, their linemen are you're conditioned to think they're better. But that's just human bias. Like, if I see two guys playing sports or doing anything, and I have a preconceived notion that the other one is much, much better at it than the other person, I'm going to assume that they're not having to break rules to become and stay that much better than everyone else. When you just look bigger, faster, and stronger, I'm going to assume like you're just able to manhandle a defensive lineman and not hold. Doesn't mean it's true, but, you know, we all have our biases and preconceived notions. That pizza looks disgusting, by the way, Charlie. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. That game this year is in Tuscaloosa, right? Because A&M beat them at College Station last year?
Yeah, it is.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm more excited for it now. If you're Jimbo Fisher and you're Nick Saban, you have helped the sport of college football today. If you're a Texas A&M fan, are you happy with this? Are you happy with today's press conference? You probably are like behind Jimbo now more than ever before, right?
I'd imagine if you're an A&M fan, you are riled up.
He basically like, came ready out and said Nick Saban is
ready to go to war.
He said Nick Saban's a hoe. He's got a God complex. He thinks he's the man. He's just a human. He bleeds just like I do. That's basically what Jimbo said.
I did appreciate like that specific aspect of the calling Nick out like for that aspect of it, or I guess the calling out Nick aspect of the press conference I appreciated. It was the "woe is me, I am not a cheater," yada yada yada. That's the part that pissed me off. Mm-hmm. That's where he sounded whiny to me. But I liked that he was willing to go at Saban a little bit.
I wish he'd bring some receipts. Honestly,
I am there.
Yeah,
I'm with you there. You keep saying you know where the bodies are buried. You only get to say that once. You can't keep saying it. Like by the third time, if you're like, "Hey, I know the truth." Like, oh, well, eventually, you gotta tell us the truth, right? Or you're complicit. Are you scared? That's what somebody should have asked him. Yeah. I thought you liked confrontation. Come on, give it to us. What's happening here?
That'll never happen.
No, not while he's still coaching. You don't. You can't do that. I wouldn't think.
And he's probably going to coach until Saban dies. And then after he dies, he's not going to want to speak ill of the dead. So we're never going to find out.
I do wonder here, like, does this light a fire under Saban? Like, and he's like, you know what? I'll show these guys. And then now we got 7 more years of the damn groundhog. Or if he'll just – because, you know, I was hoping, like, Saban would get tired of the NIL stuff and go out like Coach K. But now this is probably just, like, relit a fire. And all these athletes and big-time people have to have, like – a chip on their shoulder, right? You got to have something that gets you up working in the morning. So, like, maybe Saban had gotten a little complacent. Like, you know what? I'm already the GOAT. Blah blah blah. But now he's like, you know what? I'm gonna stick it to everyone here, who's laughing at this today.
Thanks a lot, Jimbo.
You can't make it that much longer.
I think he's got 10 more years in him.
10 more years? He's already like 70.
Yeah.
That man's going to be Joe Paul.
The only person that's ever coached when he's 80 is Bill Snyder, isn't it?
I mean, Joe Paul was on the sideline when he was 80, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Joe Paul was like 107 when he was still coaching.
Well, that's the benchmark we're using.
He died when he was 85 in 2012. So, I mean, like, he was on the sideline until when? I mean, like.
82 then, 83?
Yeah, I mean,
he died almost. He died within a year of getting.
Of having to retire, booted. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He died from a broken heart, John. Remember?
That's what some people say.
That's what his family said.
Oh, Jay Paterno.
What does that mean? He died because people found out that he was.
Yeah, basically, like he was. Yeah, like
that he was complicit in a.
Well, like people also say that, like, if you retire, some people die after they retire because, like, there's just no stress anymore, and it's just kind of like, I don't know if it's just like a bad coincidence, like irony type of thing.
But what does the broken heart thing mean? Is what I'm trying to figure
out. You know, like, well,
I think he was pretty heartbroken that his career that was.
You've seen the thing with old tarnished. People hating, like where. Be married forever, and then one dies. It's kind of like spoiler.
What does that have to do with his? With
he had a broken heart that everyone turned on him.
That his Penn State career died.
What happened in 2011? Why did he only coach 9 games?
He gets suspended.
I don't know. He went 8-1 though.
Let's go. Or is that when they had wins redacted? So then his record is technically 9-1.
I don't know. Says he coached 9 games.
I think that was when they had wins.
Might have got sick.
Maybe he did get sick. There was that video of him just, like, having to run in the locker room because he was about to just poop his pants.
Took his statue down and everything.
I have a broken heart. Why are we talking about Joe Paul right now? Because we're talking about, like, Saban coaching for a long time.
Where's Joe Paul people here?
Speak for yourself. Not a Joe Paul guy here.
I just remember getting so mad at Joe Paterno when I was, like, 11 or 12, whenever this happened. But not because I was old enough to, like, really understand what he did wrong, just because I was so mad that it was all SportsCenter talked about for weeks, and I just wanted to see my highlights.
College football, ultimately, happy it's in the conversation. But I don't think they want to be in the conversation because, like, two of their heavyweight coaches, two of their top five coaches, I think you could say, are trading barbs about the others cheating more. Like, I don't think college athletics want to be talked about in that through that lens, right? In terms of cheating, pay for play. So I'd say they're probably pretty upset about that. And if you're the SEC, these are going to be two of your cash cows for the next couple of years. You probably don't want them going at it either. Do you think Saban says anything at 4:30?
I feel like he's kind of been advised maybe not to.
Right? I think he's going to say exactly what you said earlier.
That he wasn't specifically calling Jimbo a cheater. He was just talking about the NIL problem.
Yeah. I mean, A&M as a whole that he might not even know about, supposedly.
Yeah.
I actually do think that he was just using them as examples, though. I mean, he brought up Nigel Pack in Miami, too. Like, it's not like him and Jim Larinaga have beef. You know, he brought up Travis Hunter at Florida State, which Deion also pissed. Deion's going to get his chance to talk, too.
Oh, yeah. Deion's just talked today. I want to see that.
What is Deion going to say?
I don't know. Did you see his tweet, though?
Yeah.
My son woke me up in the middle of the night with this text at 12:45. No, I'm outraged.
That. I didn't see that one.
Yeah, it was like 12:45 last night.
I saw one last night where he was saying, like, you know, basically saying, like, we as black people don't need an excuse to, like, play at our schools with our people, like, is essentially the route he went with the first tweet I saw.
Honestly, maybe that's what it takes. Maybe we need to get Nick Saban canceled. That's how we get him out of college football.
Maybe. Everyone needs to turn on him. He's a racist. You know what?
Yeah. He said, you best believe I will address that lie, all caps. Coach Saban told tomorrow, I was awakened by my son at Shador Sanders that sent me to the article stating that we paid Travis Hunter Jr.
Also,
he was a million to play at GSU Tigers football.
He was awakened by it, too? Because didn't this happen yesterday? At like
GSU?
JSU. He's tagging all these people in this thing, trying to get their clout up.
Didn't this happen like yesterday afternoon?
Yeah.
Why was he asleep?
It was last night. It was like a touchdown club type thing.
So Deion is just asleep at 9 o'clock? This morning.
He said, we as a people don't have to pay our people to play with our people.
Yeah.
That's what I want to know. What coach is asleep before midnight?
But again, wasn't
you're
the,
supposed to be working.
But again, wasn't the thought there, like, obviously, like, Jackson State doesn't have the money to pay, but, like, wasn't the idea there that, like, he got, like, a Barstool documentary?
No, that actually got
part of the documentary.
That actually got quickly debunked that he actually got $1 million because people were immediately saying, "Oh, Barstool," because they do have a documentary. They follow Coach Sanders around. Every year.
I thought there was one specifically about and they Hunter were saying, coming out too. No,
but they or maybe I don't know. But they were
there
saying,
was one that he was in. One
maybe
of
that's how they enticed it, is saying, "Hey, you'll be in this documentary." But the $1 million rumor was like, "Hey, Penn Gaming and Barstool like are backing this," and people were like, "Hold up, Penn Gaming like can't." That's illegal in the state of Mississippi.
He's not 21.
Well, that is just illegal in the state of Mississippi.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And everyone was just quickly like, "Yeah, no, he didn't get a million."
Hour one in the books. We kick off hour two of headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.